Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
January 1st, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, getting organized. Welcome back to a brand new year, a brand new podcast, and lots going on for 2008. We're going to have a great time. I've got so many good things in the works. There's going to be some new additions to the Digital Story site. I've got lots of speaking engagements. We're going to have a brand new book, either in late February or early March, called The Digital Photography Companion. I'm going to try to bring some new stuff into podcasting. I'm going to try to bring about more things to get you involved or to keep you busier or to, you probably don't need to be busier, do you? I'm lucky that you probably have time to fit this podcast into your daily life, but maybe to make sure that you continue to take pictures. And that's what I really want, more pictures, better pictures, and so that we all, you know, become better artists, better craftsmen together at the art of photography. So now, the way I thought it would be good to start out the year, up here in North America, it's pretty chilly right now, and I would say that's probably true in many parts of Northern Europe right now. And then the rest of you that are in warm climates, I wish I were there. But maybe one of the things that we can do when it's a little chillier out, in addition to working on our photo assignments and, occasionally wandering outside to try to get some good outdoor stuff and portraits and hopefully some events and some good indoor photography, is to get organized. And there's a few things going on right now that I want to make you aware of. And then I also have a few tips for things that you can do when it's a little chilly outside, when maybe it isn't the absolute best for outdoor photography. Now, the first thing, there's a new regulation that you should be aware of, and this started actually today, the first of the year, and this is for folks that are flying on U.S. air carriers. So anytime, any flight originating out of the United States, you need to be aware that you can no longer have lithium batteries loose in your carry-on luggage. They just don't want that at all. So you can have, so a lot of us have these batteries both in our laptops and in our cameras and sometimes in our cell phones and so forth, or our mobile devices. So the way that it works is that if you have a rechargeable lithium battery in the device, no problem, right? They don't seem to care about that at all. The FAA, and I think it's not only the FAA, actually, it's the Department of Transportation that rules. Sometimes you have to keep the bureaucracy straight. So it's the Department of Transportation that has brought about this new rule. So they don't care if it's in your, device. What they really don't like are lithium batteries rattling around loose inside your carry-on luggage, because they feel like that they're a fire hazard. And I guess there's data to back that up. I haven't had that problem. I do try to, any type of battery, whether it's a lithium ion or anything else, I do really try to make sure that metal doesn't hit the contacts. So I usually try to wrap it up in something myself or keep it protected from other objects that could short it out. At any rate, so what you need to do now is that if you have extra batteries, extra lithium batteries, you need to have each battery in a plastic bag or its original container, so that when you go through carry-on, that it isn't loose. Now, it says in the regulation that there's a limit of two carry-on batteries. I'm not sure how that's going to be enforced. I guess we'll find out as we all start to go through airport security. But because I actually, when I on a long trip, on a long shoot, I actually travel with like four extra batteries for the 5D alone, so that if I'm in a long, if I'm on a shoot that goes a couple days, I don't run out of juice. So, I mean, maybe a way around that, if they're going to really enforce this, is to, I usually have two carry-ons, so I could have a couple batteries in each carry-on. At any rate, you know, that remains to be seen how strictly that's going to be enforced. But I do have a feeling that they're going to be fairly strict about having the batteries either in an original container or in a plastic bag. So if you're traveling on U.S. flights, you probably don't want to mess around with this. Have your extra lithium batteries protected in plastic bags or original containers. And also, I posted this on the blog, on the Digital Story blog. And if you have any incidents or if you learned something going through airport security, if you would add a comment to the blog post, that'd be really terrific. I'll give you the exact name of the post right now so that we have it here. Let me just pull it up. And the post on the Digital Story is called New Baggage Restrictions for L-Ion Batteries, you know, the short for lithium ion batteries. So that's the name of the post. So you can always find that if you run into something a month or so down the road, you can always just use the search box in the upper right-hand corner of the Digital Story and probably just put baggage restrictions or batteries, you know, just any of the keywords there, and it'll the search works really well. It'll get you right to this post, and then you can add a comment. And then that way we can all share our information right here as we see how this thing plays out. All right, so that is your battery update for 2008 for those of you that plan to fly the friendly skies of the United States, or at least flights originating out of the U.S., which means if you fly to the U.S., you'll run into it when you try to get the heck out of here, too. All right, now, another thing I want to talk about is this is kind of an organizational thing that a lot of us forget to do. And so I want to talk about registration numbers and serial numbers and things like that. Sometimes this time of year, we get new equipment. Professionals a lot of times will buy a lot of new equipment in December at the end of the year so that they can, you know, it can be part of their tax reporting. And then, of course, there are gifts and so forth, or sometimes we receive equipment near the end of the year. And one of the things that I think is a good idea to do now before you get rolling, you know, where the weather's nice and you're out shooting a lot, is to make sure that you have the serial numbers and the model numbers for all of your equipment written down and stored in preferably two places. And I think this is really important because obviously for theft, if something happens, but you know, there's all sorts of things that can happen to our equipment. And it's really nice to know, you know, if we need to claim it again, even if we're just, you know, stupid and just leave it somewhere and some honest person turns it in and then we want to go claim it, it's really nice to have the serial number, that exact information. You can say, well, you know, it has a nick in the lower left corner and that proves that it's mine. That may or may not work. If you got the serial number, that's pretty good odds that people are going to say, yep, that's yours. So I like to have all of that written down and in a couple copies of it, both for my cameras and then also for the software. Now, I handle the software differently. I actually keep the software, the list of the serial numbers for the software and anything else that goes with it to get me into the software. I actually keep that on the computer so that when I travel, if I have software go down or if I have to reload software or if suddenly I have to use another computer also, I have all my registration numbers with me. And I do keep the camera serial numbers on there too, although I also like to print that out and just stick it somewhere else. I don't like to necessarily just have my camera serial numbers on my computer. And actually that goes for the software registration stuff too. So if you haven't done this, I highly recommend it. It's part of getting organized that just, you know, really helps you if something goes wrong. And of course, when things go wrong, you really don't want to deal with any more hassle than you absolutely have to. You want to solve it right away. This is one of the things that will help you do that. Now, along those lines also is that your cameras, I like to take pictures of them. I like to have, you know, photo records of them in addition to the serial numbers. This becomes really helpful when you have to deal with insurance. And a lot of times, if you just have, you know, serial numbers and so forth, that will take you so far with insurance. If you have serial numbers and you have pictures of your equipment, then that really helps, you know, when it comes time to file a claim. And of course, any number of things can lead to insurance claim, theft, disaster, being stupid. You know, all those things a lot of times will lead to insurance stuff. So if you have pictures to go with those serial numbers, I think that's a really great idea. And you can organize this stuff. Now, you know, now we're going to a level that I'm not even doing, but if I had the time, I would actually consider this. You can organize this stuff, for instance, by using something like iPhoto, where you have the picture of the equipment, and then in the description box, you would have the serial number, probably when you purchased it, and, you know, possibly even who you purchased it from. And then you would have the data and the photos all together. And then, of course, you would have that backed up somewhere else, because if your computer was part of, you know, whatever disaster happened that caused you to lose your equipment, then you don't want to lose all the information either that you have on your equipment, you know, having it be the only spot right there on the computer. So you probably want to have that backed up also. And I know I'm getting into major anal retention land here, and there are varying degrees of how you do this. Probably anything that you do will prove helpful if you ever need it. And probably the more that you do, probably the less hassle that you'll have later on. Now, then there's the next level, which is, of course, where we use our cameras to take pictures of other valuable things that we have. And then you're getting into the whole, you know, home inventory or office inventory side of things, where you have pictures and information about all the valuable stuff that you have. And then if something happens, blah, blah, blah. And again, probably the first time that you do this is, you know, the biggest time investment. And then if you have it set up in something like iPhoto, I think Quicken now has a function for home inventory that allows you to manage the stuff. And I'm sure there's lots of other software apps that can help you do this. But, you know, then once you have it set up, then all you have to do is whenever you add something, just add it to the database, or if you sell something, then you can take it out of the database, or at least note in the database that you no longer own it and that you sold it to this person and that person. So this is one of those organizational things that you may or may not be interested in. I have had to use my serial numbers before on equipment. I've had to use my software registration numbers all the time. And I tell you right now, and I'm sure most of you will back me up on this, there is nothing more frustrating than having paid for software, wanting to get an update or something on it sometime later, and then not being able to find your registration number. And then, of course, having to write the software company, wait for them to send it back. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's not. But usually when you need to install new software, you need to do it right then. You don't want to even wait an hour or something like that. And you don't definitely want to do a bunch of other stuff before you can do it. You want to do it right then. So the software registration numbers, big, big deal. It will. I know you will get dividend on that. I know you will get payoff for your investment. The hardware stuff, you know, the camera equipment and so forth, you know, the payoff there will be, of course, if something ever bad happens. But of course, sometimes if you just, you know, buy and sell equipment. And, you know, one other thing that goes along with that, if you don't send in your registration cards, if you don't normally do that when you get a new lens or new camera, new flash, I recommend that you do. And the reason why is that I have been notified of firmware updates and things of that nature because I sent in my registration card. I found out about stuff that I needed to improve the camera. And so it's good to have. It's good to have that, you know, all set up. So if you have those registration cards tucked away in the various boxes that your equipment came in, and you've already sent all your thank you notes for the holidays, and you're just sitting there and go, what can I do that's productive while I watch sports on TV today? Then you can fill out registration cards and send those bad boys in. Anyway, just a few thoughts. You know, I don't want to be harpy on this or anything, but the main thing is a lot of times we just don't think to do this, and then we need it. So that's my getting organized with registration numbers, both for your serial numbers for your equipment and registration numbers for your software. I want to take a moment to talk about a little digital story business. First, I want to talk about sponsors. So we have a new sponsor. I've mentioned them before, Low Pro Professional Bags. And I'm going to be meeting with them. They've already signed up. They're already their tile's already on the site. And I'm going to be meeting with them hopefully in January. And we're going to try to work up some promotions and so forth for Digital Story members. And I'm not going to make any promises right now. I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going to ask them for. But I've got some good things in mind, and I will keep you posted on that. But we're going to do something together with them, and I think you'll like it. So in the meantime, if you haven't clicked on the Low Pro tile on the Digital Story, I would, and take a look at what they have to offer. There's a lot of great stuff. And if you got a new camera or some new equipment and you need a good bag for it, definitely click on the tile and check out to see what Low Pro has to offer. I also want to talk about ExpoDisc. I've been working with them, and one of the things I'm going to be able to do at Macworld, I think on Thursday I'm speaking, you know, five ways to make your photos look better than everyone else's, which is a user session. I have some ExpoDiscs that I'm going to be able to give away at that session, and I got the nice big ones, the 77 millimeter ones. That way you can use them on your big lens, and then they'll work on everything that's smaller too. So I have some of those to give away, and I'm going to be talking about ExpoDisc probably in most of my sessions at Macworld, and that includes in the O'Reilly Media booth too. I'll have some good stuff to hand out there. They're not going to be at Macworld, so I'll be kind of carrying the torch for them. I think they will be at Imaging USA, which I'll be at also, and also PMA. So the way January lines up for photographer types is that Imaging USA is in Tampa, Florida, U.S. At the beginning of the month, I'll be leaving actually in like a week for that. And then Macworld is in San Francisco, California, in the middle of the month. And then PMA is in Las Vegas. And this is the Photo Marketing Association, the big equipment and everything photography show. That's going to be in Las Vegas beginning at the end of the month and then into the first part of February. And at PMA, I just got added to the faculty there, which I'm really excited about. And we'll be teaching aperture at PMA. And I'll also be teaching a two-day aperture workshop at San Francisco. In San Francisco for Macworld. So both of those are, you know, if you want to know more about aperture, those are two spots where you can definitely get your hands dirty with it. And so anyway, so I want to thank the folks at ExpoDisc because they're really behind this podcast, and they've been, you know, really great to us. And I will have, I think they're going to keep me supplied in goodies to give away at speaking events. Also want to mention Photomagico and Boink Software, and it's been an interesting thing in the workshops when I've been teaching post-production. I'm really impressed with how many people tell me that when they're working out their workflow that Photomagico is their slideshow software that they use for, you know, creating whatever professional output that they need, and that does my heart well because Photomagico is exceptional slideshow software and firm supporters of the Digital Story. So all of those folks producing great stuff, and we should have some goodies going on all through 2008 thanks to these great sponsors. I want to talk about the photo assignment for a minute. So, and I have, you know, confessions here. So December was just an absolute nuts month for me. I finished writing the Digital Photography Companion, which will be the book that's going to be out February or March. And it was, you know, I really had to put my nose to the grindstone on that. And the thing about writing a book, for those of you that have done this, is that at some point, when you're working on the book, you just have to put other things aside. You know, it's just no way that I found anyway, that you can write a book and do all the other things in your life the way that you normally do it. Something always has to go, and usually a few things have to go. So I did get behind on things during December. I did manage to get the photo assignment up, the December photo assignment. It was really late, but it's up and it's beautiful. And if you haven't taken a look at it, there it is. And they really nice stuff. And then, of course, meanwhile, because you guys are so good and so disciplined, I continued to get the photo assignment entries for December, which was water. And I have a really nice collection that's ready to go there. And that one I will get up much earlier. I will hopefully have it up around the 10th or so this month and can get back in my normal group. So I just wanted to beg forgiveness for being late on this stuff. But I do keep it going, and I think when you see the book, you'll definitely forgive me, because the book is just shaping up absolutely beautifully. Now, that does lead us to, we have a new month, so therefore we have a new photo assignment, and the photo assignment for January 2008 will be edges. So I was just thinking about this assignment. It came to me because I've just noticed how edges, in compositions have so much to do with things, because a lot of times it's where one thing ends and another thing begins. And it could be a hard edge, it can be a soft edge. Then there's all the metaphorical stuff, like, edges of the day at the beginning and at the end and things like that. So I think edges just has a really nice edgy feel to it, and I'm really curious to see what you guys are going to come up with for this. So the photo assignment for January is edges, and if you haven't participated in one of these things, I hope that in 2008, you'll give a few a shot. We have some folks that just make it, their regular thing that they do every month. We have some folks that drop in and out as they have time. If you haven't done one, it's pretty exciting to have your picture in the gallery along with all this other great stuff. And it's also fun to really try to figure out what is my interpretation of edges? It's good stuff, and I highly encourage you to do it. Also want to remind you about grab shots and to keep those things coming in. Haven't published quite as many grab shots lately, in part because I haven't had quite as many, but do keep them coming in, and I think I'm starting to feel like we're going to be able to get back on our regular Friday or Saturday cycle with that stuff too. And finally, I'm going to have some new site features that I'll be announcing probably sometime this month, so stay tuned for that. Some good stuff we've been working on the site in November and December, and have some new goodies for you. And if you don't go to the site regularly, I do put a blog post up almost every day, and I do try to make it be something that's good. And then we have all the member photos running through there on the member photo gallery. There's a link at the top for that. And of course, our Flickr public group, the Digital Story public group on Flickr, also has conversations going on. So if you just have something you want to talk about, or you want more information on, really go over to the Flickr public group, the Digital Story public group on Flickr, and you can start a conversation there. And we all, try to keep an eye on it and try to participate in that as much as possible. Lots of things, lots of different ways for you to interact with your fellow photographers here, and to keep the juices flowing. Okay, I have one last note here before we wrap it up for our first podcast of 2008. And that is, I just want to, I know I've talked about it before, and this is face detection, the technology face detection. But I've been working a lot with it, and I've been writing about it and testing it, mainly on my Canon G9. And I just wanted to bring it up again because I haven't chatted it up much lately. I have to tell you that this is a worthy technology. When I first heard about it, which was really about this time last year, when a lot of manufacturers really started making a lot of noise about it, I was somewhat skeptical about its usefulness. But the more I use it, and the more I like it. I've been using it a lot because it's been the holidays, and you're taking candids of people with the compact and so forth, and it really works well. On the G9, I wish it were a tad faster, But I'm always wishing for tad faster, right? But the thing that it does that's so neat, especially when you're shooting with flash, not only does it find the faces in the scene so that you're not focusing on a tree in the background or something like that, but then it also exposes for those faces too. And a lot of times in flash photography, the big problem is that the flash will, you know, be too strong. It'll nuke the thing. And a lot of times that's because, you know, the people will be in a darkened environment and the flash is trying to light up the whole environment. With face detection, it knows how far away the people are and it doesn't try to light up the whole room. It just tries to provide enough illumination for those faces. And my candid flash pictures, you know, when I'm just being a regular guy with a camera, I'm not being, you know, Joe professional, and I just want snapshots like everyone else, I've been really happy with how face detection works. So I just wanted to bring that up as a footnote, because if you're shopping for a camera, thinking about a new camera, or you have people asking you about, you know, which compact camera I should get, one of the things that I would mention to them is make sure that it has face detection. And then the other thing also is make sure that it has image stabilization, which more and more is becoming a standard feature on almost all cameras that are anything but the bottom end ones. But those two features, I think, really help improve snapshot photography. And I just wanted to add a footnote about it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week, for our first podcast of the year. Thanks so much for joining me. And I think we're going to have a fabulous 2008. I hope you'll be there the whole time. And I will see you again here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.